Thank you for listening to Internet Boyfriends.
She's jealous, isn't she?
No, I don't think so.
I don't push to the point of insanity. I don't think I'm ever going to prolapse.
We are really bad on staying on top. I fucking apologize to any listeners that think that we're organized in any fucking way.
The Nazis are back, and they're flying over, about to bomb fucking Toronto, duck and cover.
Krampus! Like,
yeah, like, I wish I had a better way of describing that so I didn't sound like a fucking racist. Like,
it's terrible!
As long as I get a laugh and you get a laugh, I think we've been successful, so.
If that was my grandmother, you son of a bitch! She didn't splatter like a bag of meat!
I'm telling you what I learned from television and Wikipedia.
She really likes how I say audio.
I know how the internet works.
Internet boyfriends. Okay, so we're going to go?
Yep.
No long lead-in for this one. It's your show, so this one's easy for me. I just get to sit back and fucking pelt you with questions.
Awesome. I like answering questions. It's like a Q&A episode just for me.
Exactly. It's nice. Nice little relaxed episode
Very
for us.
Very focused.
Speaking of which, welcome to a new episode of Internet Boyfriends. I'm Joey, and with me is the Ted to my Bill.
Ahoy, hoy.
I got that correct.
Whatever.
Did I?
Ted is the Keanu.
Yes.
If you meant the Keanu. They're interchangeable, really. There's no real clear leader or guiding force between the Bill S. Preston Esquire and the Ted Theodore Logans of the world. It's just sort of Melvins and air guitaring back and forth to each other.
And that's what it means to be alive, really. So
it's all about the Melvins.
It is. Anyways, speaking of things it's all about, this episode is all about you.
Yay!
And a very special story that you want to tell.
Well, more than you want me to tell.
I want to hear this fucking story. I want to understand what it's like to have a spiritual experience.
Well, that's not the most spiritual experience I've had. Those are usually at concerts.
Concerts?
Yeah. If I'm like, the closest I've had to a real religious experience was that a couple times. One at an Eben Tobin concert, an Eben Tobin performance at Oceaga in the first year Oceaga happened in Montreal. And the other was at a New Pornographers concert in Montreal. I get way more closer to what I feel might be God at a really great concert than any other time. I still don't think there is a God. But those are the times I feel like, well, maybe.
That's a really cool way of thinking about that. I never really thought about, like, I know what you're saying. Like, when I've been, like, a Dropkick Murphys concert and I'm really in the moment, when I'm able to let go, especially being in a mosh pit situation,
yeah, sure.
And you just let go and you kind of just, like, it's like the idea of, like, the you're knocking on the sky sort of thing. Like, hey, you know, this is what it is. Yeah, right. I can see that. I don't know. I've never really had...
The especially helped that he was on, like, this giant... In between the two stages, there was, like, the tech stage or whatever, like, to manage, like, the people that were managing the soundboards.
Yeah.
And so he was on this giant pedestal that was, like, I don't know, 50 feet high in the middle of the two stages, and we're all crowded around it, listening to him and looking up and watching him bounce around, playing the music and whatever, however he plays Eamon Tobin's music. It was something.
I don't think I've ever had that moment where the band has become God for me, because even I would.
It's not so much the band.
No, I know what you mean. Like, but I'm saying like that thing of where I look at the stage and I'm sort of just like it. The stage to me is sort of just background at a concert. It's very. I know it's a very weird way to think about it, but. It's sort of like the stage to me is like looking at a clock, like one of those little like stopwatch, the pocket watches that when you break open a pocket watch and you see the gears and everything working inside of it. That's what looking at a stage is like to me, where you should be looking at the music in front of it to see the time, sort of thing. To stick with the time, the fucking watch metaphor.
I never really care about seeing the stage. It's more about like I just like being there. If I'm at a festival or a concert, I need to hear it. I don't need to see it, really. I can close my eyes and enjoy it just as much.
Yeah. I don't want to see it, really. I mean, I want to...
I want to see it. Like, I still look, but it's because I'm like, oh, this is what Dropkick Murphys look like, or this is what New Pornographers look like. But I don't, like, once I get that part and they've started getting to that rhythm until, like, Dan Behar comes out for New Pornographers or the singer changes so I can see who's singing what and get that idea in my head, I can happily close my eyes and just enjoy the show.
I think the reason I have the opinion I do is because of seeing Sigur Rós in concert and understanding for the first time, how they make that noise.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, because to me, like, when people say about, like, music being, like, in some way spiritual, that's the band I go to, because I can specifically...
Pick.
What's that?
That's a good band to pick. I don't know Sigur Rós well. I should know them better, but from what I know, that, like, it'd be sort of, like, be a great band to experience that with.
I was just saying that there are two bands to me where I've played their music and I've felt something.
Yeah.
Outside of a concert, sitting somewhere, and I kind of have, like, that breaking the fourth wall moment where I sort of, like, kind of look back at myself like, hey, you're alive, sort of thing. I don't know. It's really kind of weird to describe and weird to talk about, but that's, I don't know. I just had these two moments, and one of them was with Nine Inch Nails and with their live fucking DVD. And the other one is when I was with Eileen.
Sigur Rós?
No. Not when I saw them, actually. I bought their album, Tack. Their third album. Mm-hmm. I got back in the car with Eileen and I said, hey, I got this music. And she said, hey, pop it in, which is something that I always really, I don't know if it's that I am like forever friends with that person at that point, or if it's just that I like my respect for them just like balloons. But for some reason, every time I've bought a CD and I hop into somebody's car and they turn to me and say, well, go ahead, put it in the CD. Like we have to listen to this now. It's new music. Like that, I have a lot of respect for those people, yeah. Because especially considering that Eileen didn't know that. Even I remember, the moment I really started to respect or like even understand as a person or want to understand as a person, Justin's sister was when we were like 14 and we walked out of like the Wiz. It wasn't even Best Buy at the time. It was the Wiz, and we walked out of the Wiz and I was like, yeah, I bought a CD. And she was like, what is it? And I go, it's this band called Godsmack. And she goes, I've never heard of Godsmack. Pop it in. Here's this chick that she listened to like Fish and the Grateful Dead, and she's asking, and she wants me to put in a Godsmack CD. And it, like, and I knew that, and I was like, fucking all right. Like I knew that she knew that she didn't want to hear that music.
Did it have the Sickness on it?
No, that's Disturbed.
Oh right, that's Disturbed. One thing. Oh God.
Godsmack.
I got them confused in my head. Like, yeah, I know Godsmack. Chains, yeah.
Anyways. So I got in the car with Eileen, I popped in the CD, and I had this, like, we had this moment, we're driving back down the Garden State Parkway, and it was about to rain, and it was kind of like that, like, electricity in the air type thing, it was about that really bad thunderstorm. It was really a beautiful moment of just looking out over this gray sky in, you know, post-industrial New Jersey, and hearing this music that is, to me, out of this, like, I really, when I hear Sigur Rós, I that to me that they're out of this world. It's not something that a human could produce.
Portishead has had that with me sometimes.
Yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. I'm not very good at talking about music because to me, like when I hear those sorts of things, I don't want to know how they make it. I don't want to talk about it too much because I think it takes kind of the power out of it. That's why I've never really written about music or written about my experiences. Like I'd rather, if I'm going to tell you about a concert, I'm going to tell you about what I did. I'm not going to tell you about what the band did. I'm sorry for that. Like, I know it's really fucking self-absorbed, but that's, I don't know. I think there's really something to music. Music is maybe the only medium that I don't deconstruct. And that's the reason to me, it's too spiritual to deconstruct.
I agree. But I think that's the kind of writing about music I would rather read than a clinical dissection of a band or a clinical dissection of an album. I'd rather how it makes you feel than how clinical words you can use to describe the sound of the guitar and drums.
Yeah.
That's much more important to me about and how you relate to the music than the actual sound of the music itself.
Well, I didn't know for a while there. I know that. I know because I know you and I know that. I think some people feel that way and I think others don't. I think others do want to have that clinical, like, you know, the sound levels were a little, like, you know, when I hear people doing reviews at concerts, you know, and they're like, the sound was a little bit off. Like, I've gone to concerts and the sound has been a little bit off, but, like, I've never thought to note that because to me it's just like, that's part of the experience.
I mean, it can ruin it, like, if it's really off.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If you're seeing a great band, it does not matter at all, period. Like, there's no question.
Yeah. I would say the worst sounding concert I've ever been to was Electric Six. And I know that because I've seen Electric Six fucking three times in 1 week. And of the three venues in that 1 week, one of them had really bad fucking sound quality. And it was actually my favorite show of the three because I think they knew that the sound quality was just fucking shit. And they just went nuts. And they did a fucking awesome show where it was just like, this is, they said, hey, it doesn't sound well, but the energy is, you know, fucking 200% because of it. And that really, yeah. That, I don't know. As I'm saying, I'm just not very good at talking about music, but that's how I felt about it. And there's that. Anyways, we did talk about the Isolation Tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Where to start? I've always been, so this is a story about how I went to get, I'll start from the beginning. I've always been sort of interested in Isolation Tanks and the just sort of general concept about them and how you sort of completely deprive your senses and in theory. Oh, what's the word I'm looking for?
Transcend.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, we transcend the sort of physical world, and this is going to get pretty hippy dippy at times. We transcend the physical world and sort of get into your entirely the mental or spiritual, either one, just the non physical way to experience reality.
Yeah.
And but I'm like, eh, whatever. I've always thought I'd like. That's something people do in fucking San Francisco or whatever. It's not something you do, an average person does if they want to. That's for the rich and famous and ridiculous. And I am only one of those things. And
but wait, hold on a second. I know that I'm gonna be interrupting a lot.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
Okay. What do you mean about this idea of like that transcending is only for like this hippy dippy type?
No, it's not the transcending. It's the for the hippy dippy. I just mean it's sort of like. It's not a pragmatic thing to talk about. I don't agree, but some people consider it something that like, oh, that's fucking bullshit, hippie shit that you're talking about. And I'm like, well, yes, but it's
See,
not just that.
My initial feelings about the isolation tank and like the sensory deprivation thing is I meditate to begin with.
Yeah.
At least once a day, usually because I fucking have to. I have to take myself out of my day and I sit down or I lay down or I do something away from everything else that I'm doing. I physically remove myself from the situation and I just focus on my breathing and I try to let my thoughts go. And what I mean by that, because I didn't actually understand any of this shit when I first started, and I thought it was a joke when I first started doing it. But it's just as simple as like being aware of like, hey, like I have toes. And I have fingers and I have a breath and my stomach is rising and falling. And, you know, I have a pain in my knee right now and my hair feels kind of funny or, you know, like I have, you know, fucking a pain in my ear. You know, when all those things come up, you can kind of let them go. And if you have any thoughts about your day or what's going on, you just let those things go and you don't focus on them. Like, it's fine if you have those thoughts. I mean, that's part of meditation is sometimes you're just going to have that something's going to like pop into your head and you're just going to go, you know, whatever. That's cool. I'll see you later. Like, I'll catch up with you later. No big deal. And you just kind of be very relaxed. And like, the isolation tank seems like the steroids version of that because like to begin, like my meditation is actually having to shut out the world to begin with. Like,
yeah,
you have to kind of shut out everything that's going on. And then you have this thing where it's like, but this does it for you.
It's got to be the ideal situation to do that, or close to ideal.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm excited to hear the story.
All right. So, I've always been vaguely, like, somewhat interested in that. Like, I've always been, my parents are sort of hippie-ish. I'm not into, like, homeopathy's bullshit. Like, I firmly believe homeopathy's bullshit, but some of the holistic stuff in general is not. I have some faith in, I guess.
Well,
just homeopathy specifically, I think, is bullshit.
I think it depends on what level you're working on. Like,
homeopathy, the idea of. Sorry, a little bit of a tangent, but the idea of taking a bad thing and diluting it and then taking it into yourself will somehow affect you because it's extremely diluted makes. I'm sorry.
Yes.
That's bullshit.
That's insane.
But yeah. Like some of the acupuncture stuff, some of them like acupressure stuff, like that kind of stuff. I'm like, oh, well, there's enough scientific backing from what I gather. You're the research guy. I'm the sort of passive research guy that back up that it works with enough people that there's probably something, maybe not involving chi or energy patterns or whatever, but there seems to be something, even if it's entirely psychosomatic, it seems to work with enough people that there's something to it.
Yes, that's, I think when it comes to something like acupuncture, or even the fucking meditation that I do.
Oh, a meditation for sure. There's no argument there.
Yeah, it makes you feel better. It's not something that's going to cure a tumor.
No, clearly.
Makes you feel better. That's what it is. Just,
there's stuff that can resolve somewhere. Things like stress and like mental like issues and anxiety and stuff. But it's not going to cure cancer, or if it does, it's coincidental. Anyway, so I heard, this is going to sound stupid, I heard Joe Rogan, he has his own isolation tag in his basement or something. He's a big proponent of them in general.
Okay.
And I might have been on Douglas Movies or some podcast, I heard him talking about it. And I watched a few YouTube videos of him talking about it after that. And then I figured, oh, well, let's just see what there is in Montreal. And there's this place called Ovarium, which is a flotation tank. I think the only three services they provide are flotation tank, massage, and this thing called Pulsar, which I'll explain in a second.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, whatever, let's give it a shot. So I was like, it was X amount of dollars. Definitely more than massage, but not a ton more because the rest of them don't involve people doing stuff. So a flotation tank is far cheaper than a massage for the same amount of time. So it wasn't like it was double the price. It was 50% more than a standard 60-minute massage. And I get massages semi-regularly because I like them. And B, I spend my day slouched in front of a computer, so my back is not in great shape.
You get massages?
Yeah, sure. I was scared for a long time because I don't want to deal with the social awkwardness of saying, no, I don't want you to give me a hand job afterwards. But I'm like, I'll just pick the most reputable places I can find and not have to deal with that.
But, all right. Even the whole like hand job thing aside, someone actually got me a massage to go to a massage place, and I outright turned it down. And I said I would never go get a massage. It seems like too like regal. Like, you're going to massage me. I'm going to pay you money.
It's definitely a little regal.
And you're going to touch my body.
And the first time I got it was in Cuba at a resort. But
oh my god!
But no, I like
fix my back problems, pro.
That's not the first time. No, the first one was either in Cuba or at the first New York Comic Con at the massage booth on the floor. I'm not sure which one was my first massage, but either way, those are among the first. And since then, I don't go out like every week or anything, but every couple of months.
No.
At the last one, I tried to get a hot stone massage. But they fucked up the scheduling, so I just got a normal Swedish massage. I'm still like, I'm chasing that dragon of that hot stone massage because I want to know what it's like.
What does the massage do for you?
It's relaxing. It's primarily relaxing, but it also like, it loosens up the muscles in my back and everywhere else because I get a full body massage. Almost full body massage for if Wheels is listening. it's primary, like, it's not insanely expensive. It's, I don't know what it is in Jersey, but it's like 75
probably
bucks.
50. Yeah, 50 bucks in Jersey, 60 bucks, yeah. Yeah.
For an hour, it's probably, like, I try for 90 minutes, so it's a little more, but it's not insanely expensive, especially if it's not every fucking week. It's every once in a while.
Do you think I should go get a massage? Because, I don't know.
It's good. I enjoy them. I am a big proponent of them. I know Michelle has no desire to have some stranger touching her, but if you can get past that, I love them.
I have nothing against a stranger. Okay. When I first turned down the thing, I think my initial reaction was I don't want some stranger touching me. But after some, like thinking about it and actually thinking about strangers touching me, I really have no problem with anybody. Like, I mean, with the exception of if someone's going to molest me or rape me, that would be like there's a line in the sand. But like if someone's going to walk up and just start touching me, I'm really not, like, I think it depends on the person. Like, if it's somebody that's attractive, I really don't care. You know, if it's somebody that is less than attractive or kind of creepy, I'm starting to care a little bit more, but, like, not the end of the world. Like, I don't know. I'm not really that defensive of my body, I guess. Like, I'm very pro-hugs and shit like that, so.
I've never had creepy, but I've had attractive, unattractive man or woman. Like, it doesn't really matter to me.
Yeah, the dude
but
thing it, wouldn't, like, the guy or girl thing
I know
wouldn't
bother you, but,
yeah.
I know it bothers some people, but the Seinfeld thing, it moved!
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, that means it's working.
Yeah.
You should be flattered. Anyway, so I was like, okay, so this place has these three services. I'm like, so I'll get all three. I'll try them out and see how it goes. They plan for like 4 hours of the day, I think. It's a 4 hour long total process of the Pulsar and the flotation tank and the massage.
Okay.
Maybe four and a half. Anyway, I went one night. And I decided, and it's not near my house, so I had to drive out there. And I parked, and I'd rolled a joint first. So I started walking around the neighborhood, smoking. Because it's Montreal, and they're okay with that.
Oh, man.
So I was a little...
You are a glutton. Like, here is this thing that's already like...
That's the thing, I was
you
like...
You could be involved in that. I would be excited. Like, I would...
I would totally do it sober. I was like, fuck it. Like, it's... I have marijuana in my house. I can roll a joint if I wanted to. So let's make this as relaxing as humanly possible.
If you're gonna do it, you might as well do it. All right.
Exactly.
Fine.
I was
fine.
Like, let's go for broke.
Okay. Go big or go home.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
So I'd scheduled it as the pulsar, the flotation tank, then the massage. So okay. I'm wandering around. It's around 5:36. It's still light out. The people are driving home from work. I'm getting a little stoned. I get into the thing. I'm like, hi, I'm here for my whatever appointment. And I'm like, okay, sure. Sit down. We'll get someone to come get you for your pulsar thing. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I sit down. I'm like, I'm feeling it a little bit. So I get called into the pulsar. And the pulsar is this dark room where you put these glasses and headphones on and you close your eyes and the glasses and headphones will pulse in this, like, the glasses will pulse with light, and the headphones will pulse with sound in this rhythmic motion for half an hour, and it's nominally to stimulate your theta waves or something in your head, and I'm like, okay, like, whatever, it was like an extra $10 or something to the pulsars.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, fuck it, let's do it. Like, I'm in it for these two things, I might as well do it for the whole kit and caboodle. I'm like, oh, this, I'm lying in this chair, this guy puts the things on my head, and he puts his blanket on me and reclines the chair, I'm like, this is kinda nice. And I close my eyes, and I'm just like, the lights are flashing, and the sounds are clicking, and whatevering. I'm like, oh. I go into the, Jesus. I was incredibly relaxed at the end of that, be it from just the pulsar-ness or the combination of that and the marijuana.
I think that guy would have to, like, peel you off the chair.
When it's done, he kind of, like, I never fell asleep or anything, but when I was done, the guy comes and he's like, he puts his hand on my arm or my calf or something, like, some part of me, some safe part of me, and it's like, it's time to wake up. It's time to you're done your pulsar. I'm like, okay. Sorry. He sits the chair up, and I'm like, okay, I take the blanket off. I take the glasses and the headphones off. I'm like, very relaxed. I'm just walking. I'm like, okay. And I sit down again in the lobby, waiting for the guy to take me to the flotation tank. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty chill right now. I'm very relaxed. I'm like,
that's got to be a hell of a lobby. In order to, like, relax you in one way and then bring you into the lobby, like, I would never, of every lobby I've ever been to, like, my mind's eye lobby, if they would bring me out of an extremely relaxing situation and put me in that, like, stereotypical lobby, I would probably murder somebody, because every lobby I've ever been in has been like, my kid is sick, or like, I'm waiting for too long.
Especially initially, like, I don't think there was one person in the general waiting area at that point. It could have stood to be darker. It was still lit like it wasn't right hospital lighting or anything, but
yeah.
It was still lit. So you could get tea or water or whatever if you want to sit. Comfortable chairs, the like little Zen sand things you could rake and sculptures and whatnot. Like, it's designed to be a fairly serene, comfortable environment. You can't really see the street. There's windows, but they're high enough up that you can't really look out them to see what's going on. People can't look in either to see what's going on. So I'm sitting there waiting. I think it was, I don't know, 10 feet. I really have no idea how long it was. It's been a little while now, but so I got called in to the flotation tank / isolation tank, whatever. And each flotation tank is in its own room with a shower, tank, and like room area for you to like, because you float naked. Enjoy the picture. So
I'm all for it. What do you got?
This is for the Wheels and Bobgar who think I'm anti-nudity.
But all right, let's say that they walked in and they said to you, here's a bathing suit that you have to wear. You would never do that. Like, I would never do. Like, I'm going in that fucker naked. That's like,
if they give me the option of, if they forced me, like, you have to use this, we have a camera watching you,
I might wear it.
But like, if it was like, do this with this random bathing suit or naked, yeah, I'm doing it naked.
Naked, yeah, all the way.
So he's like, instructs me, like, okay, have the shower, rinse off first so you're not like floating in your own filth. And here's in the tank. So I'm like, he's like, okay. And he leaves. The room's dark. It's quiet. So I strip down. I get in the shower. I rinse myself off. And in the tank, and so I'm like, okay, I get into the tank. and I close the lid of the tank, and there's, in the tank, there's three buttons. One that controls the room light, one that controls the, there's a very soft blue light in the tank, and one that controls the music that's playing. So I get in the tank, and I turn the room light off right away. And there's also a thing floating in the tank that you can, like, rest your head in that sort of floats so you don't use your neck muscles to keep your head up.
Hold on a second. There's no lid on this thing?
Yeah, no, there's, like I said, I first got in and I closed the lid. So, like, I'm completely
shut
up.
Oh, okay, sorry, all right, okay.
And in the thing, there's a blue light that I, so I turn the, but because the lid is not a airtight seal, because you need to be able to breathe, you can see, if the room light's on, you can see a slight frame of light around the lid.
Gotcha, okay, all right. All right.
So I get in, I climbed in, and I try to get comfortable. I turn the room light off. I'm like, okay. And if you don't turn the music off yourself, the music plays for the first, you're in there for 60 minutes, and the music plays for the first 30, and then it's like 25 of pure of silence, and then 5 of music to say, okay, you're almost done, wake up, get out, blah, blah, blah. So okay. I get in, and the music, I let the music play as it's designed to, so I don't hit the music button. I turn the room light off, and like I get comfortable, and I turn the blue light off. So then it's pitch black.
Shit's on.
So I'm lying there, and the water is set to the, like, at least initially, the set to 98.6 or whatever, the 37 Celsius, whatever that is in Fahrenheit. I think it's 98.6 for body temperature. Actually, okay. It's probably a little different. It's supposed to be skin temperature, which I think is a little different. And it's full of salt. So that you float, like in the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
So you're lying there and you're not touching anything, like you just lie flat and you're, the top half of you is exposed, but because it's the same temperature everywhere around, you can't really feel anything unless you move and then you feel some water sloshing around or you'll bump in, like if you move a little bit, you'll start coasting and bump into the wall of the tank or something. So you try to lie still. It's so dark, you literally cannot tell if your eyes are open or closed. And so you're just lying there and you're, this music's playing and you're relaxing and you're just out of the pulsar and I'm a little stoned. Cause it's at that, I mean, when I smoke, I'm usually feel stoned for about 2 hours. So at this point, it's about a little past an hour. So I'm still feeling it, but I'm not feeling it like I've passed my peak.
Yeah.
So I'm starting to come down a little bit and I'm just relaxing in the thing this part is hard to describe because it's just, there's nothing else like it, so I can't compare it against anything. Time sort of doesn't seem to flow the same way because you don't have any sort of reference at all of anything. All you have is your heartbeat, and you can't really, like, I don't usually keep track of time from my heartbeat, so I don't, you do subconsciously, you have your internal clock subconsciously, but you don't usually use it explicitly to tell time, so you don't really, it's not a, for lack of a better term, muscle you've exercised a whole lot. At least I haven't. Usually, I'm sure most people haven't either. I know some people, anyway, whatever. So I don't, like, I'm lying there with my eyes open at some point or closed. I honestly didn't know. Even if I had closed my eyes tighter, I'm like, is it closed now? Was it open before? I really could not tell. Like, I can't express how completely lack of any sort of light you could, like, it was seriously pitch black. And at some point, the music stopped, and I'm just, like, floating there, and I'm just thinking about life, and it's sort of indescribable. I want to do it again. I'm going to do it again. I forget that. I'm going to do it again. Cause the goal is to, like you were talking about meditating, is to forget everything, not forget everything, but to think, sort of embrace nothingness and embrace.
Yeah.
And to get into that state, and that's
you embrace the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And that's sometimes hard for me to do. Sometimes hard for everyone to do.
Hard for a lot of people. Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to go enough that I can get really good at that. Just be so much so focused on that moment. But it was still such a. I'm losing words here. And I'm sorry for anyone listening, but it was a power. It's powerful, like it's.
I'm at a loss of words too because I've never obviously never done it.
Yeah,
and I have, like I said, I've meditated and I've tried to get to that place without an isolation tank, and it's something that there's really no other way. You're right. There's nothing else in the world like it because
because the way you're floating and the way your buoyancy works, your ears are also under the water.
Yeah.
So when the music's playing, you hear the music, but when it's not, you really, like, you hear nothing, you see nothing, if you're not moving, you feel nothing.
Yeah.
You clearly don't taste anything or smell anything unless you haven't showered properly, but like, it's yeah. really like you have no reference of being in the universe at all. It's like you're completely outside entirely and you're just this thought process in this, you're just this thought process, period.
Yeah.
Because you no longer have any sort of physical frame of reference for where you are or what you are or when you are or any sort of thing like that. So it's just.
But you have, I think when I was saying about meditation, And having thoughts when I first started meditating, and the idea that, like, how do you stop thinking? Before the whole meditation thing, I never really knew how to answer that question because I'm always thinking about something constantly. Like my minute one when I wake up, I'm just immediately thinking about things, and I have high anxiety, and I'm just constantly like, holy shit, things all the time, fucking things in my brain. And your brain has to do something with itself.
Yeah.
It's very hard to just embrace nothing. But that's the point, is if you can clear yourself of that and just be in the moment, it really is cathartic. It really is something special. And it's something that, as I'm saying, like, I'm with you. It's very hard to describe. I don't know how to even fathom doing an isolation. Like, I really, once you said that you tried the isolation tank and you're now like just speechless here, this whole time I've been sitting here just like rapt, like mouth like gaping, just staring at the computer like, tell me the magic.
I've talked to this about some people in like my life, and they're like, how would you, like, I'd be so frustrated or freaked out of like an hour of nothing.
Yeah.
And
it's what it is.
And we need that. We're so over fucking stimulated every minute of every fucking day that to be completely unstimulated for an hour is such a drastic change from just every minute of every day. Like, I'm always on Twitter, on the computer, blah, blah, blah. The TV's on. Like, I have the TV on in one corner. I have Twitter going here. I'm doing some work in another window. Like, I'm always, my phone's on if it's gonna buzz, or I'm playing fucking Words with Friends. Like, all this is going on all the same time. And in the tank, you're just, there's nothing. There's no fucking Twitter. There's no fucking Words with Friends. There's no fucking Big Brother. There's nothing. It's just you. And that's fucking, I get why that's scary for people. I totally do. But it shouldn't be.
But the thing is that there's a whole nother level you're not considering of that, which is that the reason why there's all that stuff in your life is because it has to be like just evolution. You have to have stimulation in your life. I mean, that's even when I've talked to therapists and doctors and people about my anxiety and my depression. They've said to me, hey, the reason why this is actually just evolution. You're just evolved a little too well. Because like anxiety is evolution gone wrong. Because originally the people that didn't notice that fucking snake in the bush there fucking got bit by the snake and died. Somebody like me always sees a snake in every bush, whether it's there or not. And they theoretically are going to live all the time. But the problem is that it's hyperactive and it just creates all this stress, and it's going to fucking, you know, if I don't get control of it, it's going to kill me sort of thing. When you're a normal person in an isolation tank, you have, like, your brain is going to have to fill that. It's going to have to say, like, something's going to happen to you in there, because your brain has to constantly be like, where are predators? What's going on? Why am I here? What's this? It needs stimulation now, because stimulation is information. Information is survival. So that alone, to me, it's exciting.
Some people allegedly have hallucinations and stuff because their brain just needs to provide some sort of sensory input,
something.
And they'll just make something up and then you'll see it. Like, that didn't happen for me at all.
Even with the weed?
Even, but maybe a little. But not nothing vivid, just like maybe some subtle ones. But
well,
yeah.
Have you hallucinated before?
No, not
you've never hallucinated before.
Nothing vivid. Like, nothing
it
I can
have
say
to be vivid.
No, I know, but nothing I can say like this was a hallucination. There's time dilation that happens when you're stoned, and there's like things get a little fuzzy around the edges or like wavy around the edges, but nothing like a full on shrooms or acid or salvia hallucination. So
okay.
That's why I don't really know for sure, but it was of the same level as the time dilation or sort of wavy, fuzzy edges of when you're a little overstoned. But yeah, there was no bright lights or weird patterns or anything like that. There was no crazy full-on psychedelic hallucinations.
I think that's a lot of bunk too. I think a lot of people say things like that. If you're on fucking shrooms or something, whatever, and you're tripping balls, I can understand that. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I've hallucinated before. It's subtle, I think. I think it's the best word to use.
Like, the friends I've had that have done shrooms, it's usually mostly fairly subtle. Like, except, like, one was like, oh, the wall's melting. I'm melting into the wall. But it's not like you're seeing visions of things that aren't there. It's more you're experiencing things that aren't there, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that of the times I've hallucinated, it's been things like the wall was breathing, or a bad hallucination was, I know that there's something there. Like, I'm looking into darkness, and I can see, like, a dark room, and I can see something there, and I know it's there. And it's fucking, it's like the idea of, like, the wall, like a lion, or like something, like a predator. Something is there that's looking at me, a predator is there, and I need to not have it there, and I can't do that because I'm fucking hallucinating. So, I mean, it's not a thing. It's not like there's an actual thing there. That's why hallucinations are not fucking normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, yeah, that's sort of as well as I can describe the isolation tank, at least after one use.
Okay.
So, eventually the music plays again, and it's the I forget what they had some special word for that, but it's the sort of like come back out and welcome back to reality music.
Yeah.
And then you shower again to wash all the salt off of you, because you're covered in salt at that point. And the story sort of gets less exciting. I put on a robe. Actually, I put on my underwear and a robe. I didn't put the rest of my clothes on, but underwear and a robe. And then waited in the special massage waiting area, and then got a massage, which was great. It was a little better than a normal massage because of the pre-massage relaxation stuff of the tank and the pulsar stuff. Yeah. And I think she was better at it than some other people I've been to. That's not as noteworthy a story. And then I finished that, dressed, and drove home. And whenever I have a massage, I take the long way home because I just sort of like decompressing by myself in the car and taking a long, winding, relaxing way back to the house. That's sort of the end of the story. The crux of it is the pulsar and the flotation tank. Lots of people have a massage. That's not as exciting. And by the massage, I was totally sober. So it wasn't like I was like, ooh, I'm stoned. It goes, I'm stoned. I touch sensations severely heightened.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
But that might just be me. But by then I was totally sober. So it wasn't like anything super special because of that. But yeah, so that's the flotation tank story.
There you go. For some reason, I just feel very relaxed right now, where I'm kind of just sitting here just like, yeah, all right.
Good.
I kind of have. I'm in this little nice, little relaxed mode now. After that, hopefully, everyone listened to that and they're just like, "Yeah, I'm relaxed too."
I'm sure there's some in the city, I'm sure you could find some in New York. I don't know if you could find some in Washington Township, but
I think I could probably find some in Jersey. But
yeah, for sure. I'm sure it'd be closer than finding some in Manhattan or something. That's all.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something that I definitely want to do. I don't know. I think though it falls under the header of massage of where
it's not a need or like I need to feed myself or wash myself or provide myself entertainment. It's definitely past that in the list of needs.
Yeah, exactly. It's not something that, I don't know. It's something I definitely want to do eventually. It's going to go in that like big goal book of mine, but it's not something that where I'm going to be like, holy shit, I got to do this right now.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a problem too. Maybe that's something I should get on, which is that I should be a little more passionate about that. Cause I'm very excited. I was excited this whole episode to listen to you and to be get into that moment to kind of live vicariously through you. Maybe I'm going to give it, hopefully we'll be able to give it a try. So I look forward to hearing from you when you do it again.
Yeah.
So you'll be like, holy shit, I went back in there and I fought Jesus.
If your meditation's going fine or relatively okay, I wouldn't put it to the high priority. But if you're having some issues getting to that super focused way, it's definitely a shortcut to that. There's no question.
For me, at least, the reason why I meditate is to take the long way, is to not take the shortcut.
Yeah.
Because to meditate is to consciously alter my mood from angry or upset or anxious to something that's not. Anything that's not really. I mean, even if I come out of, if I meditate for 20 minutes and I'm just sitting here in the room and I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing and I come out and I don't feel any better, like, I mean, or at least I don't feel great. You know, even if I just feel okay or neutral, that's better than angry. You know, I've been able to change that and that's what matters to me. So I know what you mean. And it's something, like, that's what I said. I definitely, like, to me, it seems like meditation steroids.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So awesome. Very cool. That's the only way. I'm fucking jazzed about this whole thing. Like, yeah, this thing exists. This is the thing that we do in society. Fuck yeah.
It's because we've come, some guy was like, I got nothing else to do. Let's figure out how I can float in complete and utter nothingness.
Yeah, but for some reason, when you say like, it is hippy dippy shit, like I never really think of meditation as like a hippie thing. Because
meditation,
to me,
I agree. I definitely agree. But I just, when I mentioned on Twitter or something, people were reacting in that kind of fashion. And so, and I agree it is sort of hippie-ish, but I don't think it's not fucking crystals. Like, that's for sure. It's not, it's way less hippie, way out, it's way less weird pie in the sky made up healing things than crystals or magnets or stuff like that.
Even like magnets and crystals and that sort of shit like that. Yeah, I understand what you're saying with that. But to me, it's the approach.
That's what matters. But people don't see that.
Well, I'm not saying that they have to see it because to me, getting into meditation wasn't about like the hippie crystals, that kind of shit. Like when I finally committed to saying like, hey, I really do care about meditation, it was because of the Tao.
Not the financial.
No. I don't think it was financial. No, I assume I was
making it clear for anyone listening. He's talking about the TAO.
Yeah. Yes. What I've been told is pronounced Tao.
I have too. Yeah.
Yes, and the reason why I read that and I kind of saw myself in it and I identified with it and I noticed that like the idea of Zen Buddhism, that all that kind of stuff really appeals to me. And it does it at first when you look at it from a distance, it has that error, like that aura of like hippy dippy, like fucking like, oh, everyone's going to feel good or whatever. Yeah. But then you start to read it and you start to understand it and it has nothing to do with any of that, like crystals or magnets, or really it even has nothing to do, like I said, it has nothing to do with feeling better. Actually, the whole idea is that there is no better. The point is that you're supposed to be in a position of strength. You know, like Bruce Lee flows like water, you know, be like the water, you know, don't force things, adjust and flow around all things and that sort of stuff. It starts to go down that path of people being like, all right, now you're talking about being water. Like, what the hell? Like, yeah, humans are 80% water, but like, what are you talking about? It's still like, or like the uncarved block of wood, all those sorts of things. Like, it really comes from a position of strength of being able to have the world go around you instead of you going through the world. Being able to latch on to a moment and latch on to mindfulness and really be in the moment and be aware of what's going on and be aware of yourself and be able to control and be strong, because there's lots of things in your life that are going to derail you, but you can say, hey, I don't want, like, I just be like water, just flow around it. You know, you don't have to, you don't have to let those things affect you. You don't have to get upset. And I do get upset. I get upset a lot. You know that. I think most people that know me know that. I get upset about a lot of things and I get very anxious and very kind of like fucking depressed or, you know, whatever it is. But the whole point is that I still have that bit of strength in me that I've developed of where I can step away from that and I can say, hey, I'm going to go meditate and I'm going to step away from all this shit. And when I come back, I'm going to have that strength with me instead of now when I don't. And I'm going to know that when I come back from that I'm going to be able to be like water, or I'm going to be like the uncarved block. I'm going to be that thing that I need to be I'm going to be that thing that I am, really.
Yeah.
Instead of what I am now. So I don't know. Maybe it's fucking weird, but I like it, so there's that.
I agree, so.
Yeah, I know. Fucking preaching to the choir. And with that, that's about fucking wraps it up then. When I'm making points that you already know, I think it's time to wrap it up. So thanks for listening again. I'm Joey, which is at Joey Heflich, H-E-F-L-I-C-H, on Twitter. And
I'm Ryan, at Gobo, as it sounds, like the Fraggle. I'm a little relaxed now.
Oh, it's just because I have to spell my last name now every episode, so.
At G-O-B-O.
Yes, thank you, ass. So, with that, thank you for listening. We'll see you next week. We love you all, and I'll catch up with you later. Bye.
Take care.